Welcome to Layers of Film, the show where mediocre people discuss masterful films. The first Monday of each month, I am your host, Austin Killian, joined by my co-host, the Agent Smith to my Mr. Anderson, Big T. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, there you go. I was like, I didn't want to say Mr. Anderson. Actually, honestly, we're probably both Mr. Anderson because of like our like desk job type of, you know? Like, we're just sitting there and wishing for a better life. But it sounded better to call you Agent Smith, or to start with Agent Smith. Sorry.
It's okay. I'll take it. He can dodge bullets, so that's pretty cool.
He can, yeah. See, I used Mr. Anderson, which is, you know, when he's trying to, like, make him doubt himself and not feel like he's Neo. So I try toning myself down a little bit, even though I'm the hero. Whoa! What's your dog's name? Ivy?
This is Ivy, yeah.
Ivy. Nice.
Well, she's hello. Kind of a nightmare.
Is she really?
She just eats everything.
Oh, man. Just chewing up shoes and stuff?
Honestly, it's more like just trash.
Oh, that's not good.
She'll eat, like, socks, and she'll eat, like, wrappers that we get left out and...
Oh,
toiletries and stuff.
Oh, man, yeah. So, oh, man. Yeah, dude. Yeah, dogs could be the worst if they get into the garbage.
Yeah, that's her. Oh. She's kind of a little nightmare, but we love her.
Yeah. Isn't that? Dude, that really is. Like, that's the worst. You're just chilling, and then you go to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden the whole garbage is just, like, just torn. Not torn apart, but, like, all the garbage just spread out all over the floor. And yeah. You're like, dang it.
She's a garbage eater.
And depending on what's in that garbage beforehand, it could be a real nightmare.
Yeah. We've already had to take her to the ER twice for...
Really?
Stomach problem. Not the ER, but the vet. Well, one case it was the ER, and the other one was the vet. Because she was having some gastrointestinal problems. But...
Man, you got to be careful. Lock those doors. They're gonna take that dog away to dog protective...
No, we got her services from a rescue agency.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, okay, there you go.
She's living a better life than she was in before. She's spoiled.
That's good. You watch any good shows or movies lately?
Let's see. We're almost finished with season two of Breaking Bad.
Mm, that's right. Season two, yeah. That's as far as you've made it. It's been a month. You should be done with the show by now.
I have a life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're almost done with season two. I think we have one episode left of season two.
Nice. I can't even think of what's going on around that point, but let's see.
The baby has been born.
Oh, really? What?
And
that's early.
It literally just happened.
That's
like
crazy.
An episode ago.
I could have sworn that was later.
And Walter White just watched someone die.
Oh, wait. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Dude. And it's very sad.
Was it, though?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I liked her.
Yeah. It's really sad.
She kind of went out the deep end at the end, but I'm sad.
Hey, man, we all have our moments, I guess.
Yeah, just started a new Apple TV show called Constellation.
Oh.
Yeah, it's about an astronaut in space who, like, has to crash land on Earth, but the Earth she comes back to is, like, slightly different.
What the?
And she sort of is like time/space traveling. It's a little unclear.
You're in a sci-fi mood?
Yeah, and also Apple TV just has great series.
Really?
So
I know Severance. So. Severance, right, is on there?
Severance is on there. Silo was really good.
Oh, yeah.
The Morning Show is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. People do love that one. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot.
People love Ted Lasso. That's Apple TV, right? Or no?
That might be Apple TV. No, that might be Hulu. I don't know. Or Prime. That might be. Dude, I don't know. There's
I don't know.
Too many.
Yeah, we watched Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh, how was that?
I've seen ads for that. My wife and I really liked it. But it's weird. It's weird.
Is it? Okay.
But it's the kind of movies that we like. So.
Is it the kind of weird, like being John Malkovich weird?
No, it's not as
you have to
creepy.
Think about it though. I might skip
it's,
this.
It's weird, like it's kind of campy.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just weird, but it was fun.
All right, well,
yeah. How about you? Watch anything good?
Okay, yeah, I just finished The Last Kingdom, which I talked about last time. Man, if I would have, this is going to be one of those things that haunts me, like, for years to come, of me just thinking that that show took place in the 1600s or whatever. If I would have just thought about it for, like, two more seconds.
That's fine.
But, yeah, anyway, it's, like, more in, like, the 800s or 900s. The 9th century or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, I think.
Oh, because it's Vikings, right?
Yeah, yeah, like Saxons and Danes before even England was a thing. But, man, that show is, that's like what I would probably, it's got an 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb, but honestly, I would put it at like Ready or Not stat, like this is a solid 7 out of 10, you know what I mean? Like this is a perfect, this is exactly what I wanted it to be. It didn't deviate, it was great. The only thing is the last season, you could tell that like they were probably hoping for another season after that, but they didn't get picked up. So they just tried tying that bow and it moves really quick. And then they did like a movie afterwards.
Six seasons in a movie?
Five seasons in a movie. But is that Community? That's a quote. Isn't that a thing for Community?
Yeah.
I need to finish that show too. That was also like that should have been a whole season. Like honestly, it was just they really tried just getting all the rest of their stories out there as quick as possible, which was a bummer. Yeah. But it was fine. It was cool. And also the last, I don't know what it is, like Game of Thrones, like the first three seasons I love, and then the rest is like whatever. Same for this show. It's like the first three seasons were great, but then the last couple of seasons, I mean, besides the quick pace in the final season, it was like more fan servicey, like characters kind of acting differently than they normally would just for a laugh for the scene. And it's like, no, like, I don't know. Like they tried going more comedic slightly later on.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel supernatural anymore, but not supernatural. Just like,
I got you. Okay. Very natural.
Natural. Yeah. But it is what it is. And it was cool. And I like it. And for anyone listening, and you, if you like Game of Thrones or kind of that, kind of like medieval or fantasy type, like anything like that, like this is a pretty good show to watch, I would say.
Good to know.
Along with that kind of, you know, like Lord of the Rings, like fantasy type of stuff, I unearthed some Lord of the Rings movie that we made back in my rental house.
Oh, God.
I still haven't sent you a link to any of the other stuff.
I know. I need you to send it to me.
Oh, dude. It's so funny because, like, we try to do, like, this huge battle, and we just cut in, like, Lord of the Rings, like, footage, which is awesome.
Look at that. We knew how to make our lives easier.
We tried. We used what we had, man.
Our parents being like, oh my goodness, this is so good.
I don't think
how did you film this?
Oh man. But yeah, I need to send some of that stuff to you guys. It's pretty funny. And when I watch these old like videos in my middle school and like high school age, anytime I'm trying to make like a movie with someone, you could tell it's just like I really have zero improv skills. And I'm just like, you guys were always like on top of it, just coming up with whatever. And then I'm that's just so sitting funny. There silently, just like,
How do you know it wasn't scripted?
Because it wasn't. I know. I remember. Yeah. We definitely didn't that's script so anything. But yeah.
You're going to make me want to go into acting. It sounds like I'm do so it. Good.
Oh, yeah. You should be you should definitely be known as like that improv actor who's just pulling stuff out of his butt whenever he needs to. Also, really
move
quickly.
To Chicago.
Really quickly. Two video game things. Control, made by the same people that did Alan Wake, which I was talking about a while ago, which I think that you might find interesting. I played a game called Control. Super cool. Super trippy, super weird. Maybe a game that you could enjoy.
One player?
Too. Yeah, single player.
What console?
You can find it anywhere, I think. I don't think it's exclusive. And then number two, I think this is exclusive. I haven't really looked into it too deeply, but just out of nowhere, because it's like the 20th anniversary of these games, the Battlefront, the old Star Wars Battlefront games are getting like
remastered.
Yeah, remastered and like in a one huge collection. I don't know what the price is, but it's gonna drop like,
I loved Battlefront.
Yeah, it's gonna drop like March 15th or 13th or something like that, super soon. And I will be buying that because
I loved Battlefront.
Like 64 player like online battles and dude.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, I can't believe that they're doing this. It's like super random, but I'm pumped.
That's exciting.
Anyway, that's it. Let's, unless you have anything else to say, let's get into
nope.
this. Cool. Well, of course, as you may already know, we are covering The Matrix this episode for this month. But before we get into that full discussion, let's go through some housekeeping. You can rate and review the show on your podcast service of choice. It helps with discovery and gets the word out. If you haven't seen the film, be aware that we will be diving right into spoilers, sometimes right from the beginning of the discussion, so continue at your own risk. Make sure to listen until the end of the show where we will reveal next month's film, and you can write into layersoffilmpod@gmail.com to be part of the discussion. And now, Big T, do you have our next segment ready for us?
Of course I do.
And that segment is...
Holly, would you rather?
Holly, would you rather?
Nice.
So, for all of our thousands of new listeners,
oh yeah,
Holly, would you rather is a game where I give Austin two options. One is from the movie we just watched, and one is from another movie or TV show. Austin has to choose which option he likes and guess which movie or TV show the second option is from.
Nice.
So, Austin, are you ready?
Always. Born ready, whatever.
Okay. Holly, would you rather be able to dodge bullets?
Yes.
Or be able to curve bullets when you shoot them?
Wanted?
Yeah, good job.
I've never seen that movie. Dodge bullets. Curve bullets? No, yeah,
dodge. You don't want to be able to kill people around the corner?
No, I have no interest in shooting people with guns, so...
You say that now, wait till the zombie apocalypse.
That's... Shoot, dude. But we don't know if that'll ever happen, so I'll go with dodging bullets in case that ever happens.
Yeah, you get shot at a lot.
Yeah.
You need to...
Can it extend to my kids?
The dodging bullets,
yeah,
or the shooting your kids with the bullets?
Yikes, dude. Dodging bullets.
Nope. It's only you.
Okay, I was going to say, because that'll open up... Like, if we could dodge bullets as a family, like...
Like a circus act.
We could live anywhere that we want. Like low, like not low income. Well, probably low income, right? But you know what I mean? Like super dangerous,
very dangerous
cities.
Neighborhoods.
It doesn't even matter, dude. We could live anywhere. Yeah. It opens up a whole new world of possibilities.
I love it. You're like, housing would be affordable.
So affordable. Yeah. Wait, what would you
No, choose? I agree with you. I would rather dodge bullets as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know this movie, but I just remember when the trailer came out and Wanted. When the trailer came out and there was like a scene of the person curving the bullet, people were freaking out over it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. It was like this. Yeah, it was huge there for a second.
It's like, people, this is called fiction. Calm down.
It's like, can I do this?
It's like, I just shot my brother.
It didn't curve.
Around a corner.
And it curved into my mom. I'm just kidding.
Well, I think in the movie too. This is a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it, but like, get your act together if you are getting a movie from 2008 spoiled.
Sure.
But I think she uses the person uses the curved bullet to kill a bunch of people in a room.
Perfect. I'm into that.
So, yeah.
It's smart.
Pretty dope. Okay, next one. Holly, would you rather realize you exist in the Matrix as a human battery or... realize you live as an NPC in a video game?
Free Guy?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that either.
I haven't either.
You're choosing all these movies that we've never even seen. Oh, dude. I'll just go with the NPC. That's fine. I'll deal with
it. Yeah.
Because the other alternative, like, you're basically stuck in, like, this terrible wasteland of, like, you know what I mean? It sounds terrible.
True, but if you are in the Matrix, it means you're just living your normal life as a human battery.
Oh, you just find
out. And if
out.
You're out... Well, I don't know, whatever. I didn't think that much about it.
Okay, let's just go with Free Guy.
I'm going to go with the Matrix just to be
really?
Controversial.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, so you're wrong, but whatever.
Free Guy seems more fun, though. Like, you could bend the rules throughout the entirety.
Is that
of
what
the
he
world.
Does? Is that what he does in Free Guy?
Well,
he,
the like, NPC. Well, that's.
I literally don't know the plot of Free Guy. Like, I don't know what's so special when he realizes he's an NPC.
That's true. I, at the very least, I don't think you can get taken over by an agent and just become.
That's true.
And then die. You know? Yeah. You'll reset as an NPC, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. But the NPC world looks a lot more fun, though, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not the late 90s or a doom and gloom world. But anyway, okay. Next one. Last one. Holly, would you rather have someone suck a tracking device out through your stomach or have someone cut a tracking device out of your arm?
Cut it. Oh, I have no idea. I mean, there's probably, and I can't even think of a single one, but there's probably so many movies that have something like that. I can't even. Oh, man. What? Suicide Squad? No. I don't know. What is it?
Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Katniss gets the tracking device cut out of her arm, and she screams a lot.
I feel like the sucking one was probably a lot quicker, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't really freak out as much, and it doesn't look like it left a wound, and I'm like,
yeah,
that thing was enormous.
Yeah,
a gaping hole in your stomach right now.
Yeah, they didn't bother to like cut it a little bit to make sure that it would have like an easy output, you know? They were just like, no, it'll just pop through the skin, that's fine.
It'll just rip all of his organs out as it gets sucked out.
I wonder if that was the electric stuff, though, because it like, there's like that electric charge going for a second. I don't know if that made a weird little incision.
I don't know.
No one knows. Even the Wachowskis don't know. I don't know.
Which one did you choose?
The first one. The sucking alien or whatever. The tracking thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I would choose that one too just because it would be cool to see. And that device, I'd want to know how that device works. I'd be so curious. I'd want to look at the...
Yeah.
Look at both the shrimp tracking device and the giant gun she uses. Also,
yeah.
It looks like he plugs it into like the cigarette lighter.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice that.
I think he's just like turning the machine on or something, but it looks like he's plugging it into a cigarette lighter.
That's awesome. I love that. It's like, we need this car battery.
Yeah, I was just laughing. I was like, I hope that this is cigarette lighter powered. Like,
yeah, yeah.
True 90s technology there.
That's awesome, dude. And okay.
Well, there you go. Holly, would you rather? You got 2 out of 3.
Thank you.
Which is funny because Hunger Games is like the easiest one.
Yeah, but there's honestly, like my brain got stuck on the Mummy.
Yeah, there's too many options.
Well, the Mummy, which isn't even a tracking thing at all, but those little bugs.
Little scarab
beetles.
Yeah,
for some reason I got stuck in that and I just couldn't think of anything else. But
yeah.
And then there are a lot of different options that you could probably choose from if you knew a lot of options, which I just couldn't think of. Well, thank you for the game. I appreciate
it. You're welcome for the game.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 8.
We'll take it.
Let's introduce this film. The Matrix, released March 31st, 1999. Here is the synopsis. When a beautiful stranger leads... What? Beautiful? IMDb. Who's this? Oh, is this Trinity, maybe? When a beautiful stranger leads computer hacker Neo, I just needed to keep reading, to a forbidding underworld, he discovers the shocking truth. The life he knows is the elaborate deception of an evil cyber intelligence. Directed by the Wachowskis, written by the Wachowskis, composed by Don Davis, cinematography by Bill Pope, edited by Zach Steinberg, or Steinberg. Here are the big actors, Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Carrie-Anne Moss, and Hugo Weaving, amongst many others. Budget of $63 million. Pretty standard for a rated R film. Box office earnings. Whoa. Did dyslexia come into play? Yeah. $467.2 million. I accidentally wrote $647. That's not correct. I'm not dyslexic, either way.
You're not, you said?
No, I'm not. I don't know why I wrote that backwards, though.
Huge. So over $400 million more than what they spent.
Yeah, like barely, but yeah, yeah. Isn't that crazy? That's amazing. I mean,
that's wild. I feel like that's one of the highest like ROIs we've worked on. We've seen.
Maybe. Maybe
that's
Interstellar.
That's huge. Yeah, one of the highest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Especially for a rated R film. Like, this is... It's so hard for a rated R film to make a lot of money. And this one definitely, like... Yeah, this is one of the highest.
I wonder how many people went and saw it multiple times. I feel like this is a movie that a bunch of, like, tech nerds would just see, like, 100 times.
Anyone, I can guarantee you, anyone in 1999 who owned a trench coat definitely watched this movie multiple times in theaters. You could also watch it on Max. I didn't get to that. HBO Max, Max. Or you can rent or buy it. Big T. Both of us have seen this film before. I haven't seen it really in a long time. I think I said last time since, you know, I was a lot younger and I didn't really think super critically. And to be honest, I don't really think super critically these days, but a little bit more than I used to. When's the last... Wait, did you say that you've seen this movie slightly recently?
Yeah, my wife and I just watched it probably in the last like 2 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So... Are you tired of watching this film then, or what?
Okay, so here's the funny thing. I watched this movie probably on TV when I was younger.
Yeah, sure.
Because it was like PG-13, you know?
Right.
And I loved it. I thought it was so cool, so excited. My wife and I watched it like 2-ish years ago, and we both were like, that wasn't as good as I remember. I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah.
So then when I watched it this time around, I was kind of expecting to just be like, oh yeah, more it's like whatever. But I liked it a lot more.
Really?
This last time I watched it than when I watched it 2 times ago. Yeah. And I think there are a few reasons. One, sure. And we'll probably talk about this. Some of the dialogue and like the acting in this is really cheesy.
Yeah.
But watching it for this podcast, I feel like I was paying more attention to like the cinematography and just some of the more like cinematic elements.
Yeah.
And this film has fantastic cinematography.
Oh, like, yeah.
It is mind blowing, really, especially for the 90s.
Yeah.
And so I just remember, I think that was part of the reason why this time around I was like, oh, I actually really like this movie.
Yeah.
And minus all of the like, really cliche or like kind of awkward, cringy stuff.
Yeah, I totally get that. Some of that like super corny dialogue, I don't know. It's so weird because it's like for some reason, like it is really corny and you recognize that it's corny, but it also sort of fits within this movie. I don't know why, like to me anyway. Yeah. And maybe it's just because I'm so used to it. I've seen this movie a few times, you know, and so I'm just like whatever, and maybe there's a little bit of nostalgia in there, I can forgive it, you know, but just specific, I mean, when you look at the outfits and all that stuff, it's like it all just comes together, like
I don't know
if I've used this kind of method of thinking or this thought process before on this podcast, but usually like with music, there's my favorite band of all time is Chevelle. Red Hot Chili Peppers has been edged out by Chevelle a little bit. But isn't that crazy? Huge on Red Hot Chili Peppers back in the day. Still love them though. But Chevelle is like, and even Red Hot Chili Peppers. Well, no, Chevelle's more. Okay, sorry. Let me just get to it. Chevelle is one of these bands where like the guitar work, the bass work, the vocals, there's nothing really that special about it, but it just hits so hard for me. Like, I really love it so much. And, like, I just, like, it all just fits perfectly. Like, they're a band that knows exactly who they are and what they do, and they lean into it, like, what they do well. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing with The Matrix. It's like, you have all these corny things and, great cinematography as well, but you have all these corny things like the outfits and the dialogue and you put and some of the performances and you put them together and it's just like they knew exactly what they wanted. It all just works for me. Like the Wachowskis did a great job following a very specific vision and just carrying it throughout like the entire film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like it encapsulates the 90s
yeah.
so well.
Yeah.
Like, you watch this movie, and even if you don't know, like, the late 90s that well, you're like, this is the 90s.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
You've got, like, all of the black. You've got, like, the, yeah. what's it called? Like, the heroin chic, the wet look, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you have, and I feel like the cheesy dialogue and, like, the corny acting at times just, like, really, really feeds into that feeling. Yeah. And like, it's dated itself, but in a good way, if that makes sense. Like, you really just feel like you're back in the 90s when you watch it.
Oh, definitely. And I love it. Like, all the, like, the spandex, like, just everything's, like, leather, whatever. But
yeah,
there is one corny line, though, that I'm like, this, like, all the other ones I could forgive a lot of the time, but this one is just, like, you either take our way or the highway or whatever. Who says that? I care. Switch? She says that in the car? And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
A little bit of me is like, is this the first time that it's ever been used? And it, probably not. But it's like, can yeah. I forgive it? Because maybe it was the first time that line was ever
this
used.
Is like, no, this is like Looney Tunes dialogue. Which yeah. I think is kind of funny too, because you have these people who are, I mean, they're trying to look cool, right? You've got yeah. like the black and the leather and the sunglasses and stuff. But when you get down to it, like, a lot of them are probably like Mr. Anderson. Yeah. They were just kind of like nerdy tech people who realized that life was a simulation, you know? And so you have yeah. these people who are kind of like cosplaying cool, like, biker chicks or biker people.
Right.
And then it's like, they think that saying your way, my way, or the highway is cool, you know? And yeah, so it yeah. even encapsulates their characters really well.
It's awesome. No.
Because you know that yeah. she was like, oh, fuck yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah. Or who knows? Maybe the actress, Belinda McClory, maybe she thought that that line was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah, right. But her character, I feel oh, like yeah. I think oh, it's okay, cool. Yeah.
Sure.
That's
sure.
what I'm saying. It's yeah. like, you have these characters who are kind of cosplaying like badasses, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just kind of like dorky.
Yeah, pretty dorky. And it makes me, this is going to come up later in one of the games, but or in the final game, but like Carrie Ann Moss, I think she does such a great job acting. Is there, I just want to see if you picked out like one moment where it was just like, yikes, you could have done much better than that delivery.
I don't know if it's going to be the same one, but the first one that comes to mind is when she like tells Neo, like, you can't be dead. I'm the one that loves you. I love you or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But that's mostly because I'm like, this is so tropey. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to fall for the chosen one. You know, it's like, ugh.
I think your delivery. Yeah. That's pretty corny. Like just the concept yeah. of that itself. But I think your delivery yeah. was fine. You know, it was good. Now there's one when like, oh, I should have written down exactly what she said, but like Cypher is on the other end and it's like, I'm killing all your friends, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And I can't remember. She might have just killed someone or she was about to kill someone or maybe she's threatening to kill Morpheus. I don't remember. No. They need Morpheus. I don't know. Anyway, and she was just like, oh, what did she say? She's like, screw you, Cypher. So, like, I can't remember what she says, but it's just like,
go to hell, Cypher.
Yeah, maybe
something.
That's what it was. Yeah. And I'm just yeah. like, whoa, that delivery was rough. Like, you should have done another take. Because otherwise, I didn't have really a problem with her performance at all. I thought it was awesome.
I do remember that piece of dialogue, though, because yeah. I remember she said it, and I was like, that was like a middle school comeback.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's part of it, too. Yeah.
It's like very out of character for her.
And maybe there was just no way to deliver that well because it was such a yeah, middle school.
Screw you.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But on the flip side from her performance, I don't know why. I really love when she's running away from the agents like at the beginning of the film. And she like, I mean, the dive through that, you know, that super long dive. She like hops off the roof and dives through a window into the next building. Mm-hmm. That. The CGI or whatever, like the green screen work, whatever's going on there, doesn't really hold up, and a lot of it doesn't really hold up. But but the shots are still cool nonetheless. But then she's like, oh man, she like rolls down, she tumbles down the stairs, and then lands like on her back, and like immediately whips out her guns and like points them at the window, and I just mm-hmm. love like. I love how they really just stayed on her for a second. She's like, get up, Trinity, or like, get up. And then she finally gets up. Like, it's like she was kind of ruled by her fear, just a tad. And she's like, I need to get up and move right now. Like, what are you doing? Instead of yeah. like freaking out about this agent possibly going through the window. I don't know. I thought that part always sticks out to me anytime I think about this film.
There's a callback later in the movie to it too, right?
Oh, what?
Somebody, I think it's Neo. Oh, it's when Neo's in the helicopter and Morpheus is still tied up, and Neo's like, "Come on, Morpheus, get up, get up." Like, I don't know if it's an intentional callback, but yeah, it does kind of call back to that.
I didn't even think about that. That's cool. Super cool. Did you write that down in your notes, or did you just think about it?
No, I just remembered it.
See, that's why the improv, man. You're the improv king. You can just remember things. Look at you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember because I'm like, it's very unique, not unique dialogue, but it was very specific, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, it's a good example of like that really corny dialogue, but it just, for me, it feels so good in the moment. Right at the end when Trinity's like, "Dodge this." It's so corny, but it works so well.
That's the thing. It works so well for the Matrix. Like,
it also doesn't make any sense because I think the agent's like totally looking down and facing Neo on the ground or something. But then all of a sudden when he gets shot, like he's facing Trinity. Maybe it's because he's like moving really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shot's so good though. Like the slow, like it's just like the fast pace, like, and then it just goes slow motion.
And then,
oh, dude. Yeah. You're so right.
The cinematography is so good. I love the helicopter scene.
Oh, yeah.
With like the bullets, and you see them in slow motion, like the casings coming out of the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the gun. And then when the helicopter slams into the building, and it's like that slow motion ripple, and then all the glass explodes, and you have Trinity in the background, like flying forward. And like, it's just like so 90s.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like, I don't know if this is the case, but I feel like this movie inspired a lot of the visuals for future, like, movies about sci-fi stuff coming up. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen Aeon Flux.
No.
Or Ultraviolet, but I feel like those were two movies that pulled really heavily from Matrix. And I'm pretty sure they came after the Matrix, but it's just kind of like that cyberpunky, like, like wet look, and I don't know how they all fall into each other, but I really feel like the visual components of this influenced a lot of the future kind of films in this genre.
That's true. That is a very like late 90s, early 2000s look. Like you got a lot of that kind of, especially like even taking out of like kind of these weird cyberpunk or like kind of sci-fi-ish movies, you have like, I don't know. Like you have like X-Men and a lot of super, like Daredevil, you know, just like super leather. Well, yeah, super leather, like, you know, just outfits. And it's just kind of ridiculous. Like, why would you ever want to use that? But it did. Yeah. Like you could definitely see like that's kind of the aesthetic that's going on a lot around that time period.
Yeah.
And it works. Mm-hmm. And it's nostalgic. It'd be really interesting to see like a teenager's take on this movie now, or like or in like a young adult, like a new adult's take on this movie right now, because I feel like maybe the nostalgia wouldn't kick in and it would just look ridiculous to them.
Yeah, because I do really feel like the nostalgia element hits really, really hard here.
Mm-hmm.
Even with like the cell phones, like all these like jump cuts to them like flipping it open and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like so over the top, but it's like 90s and it was like, this was cutting edge technology and like, you know, they just, it just really is nostalgic in a lot of different ways.
Do you think younger generations look at the whole telephone booth and like, what is this? What are they doing?
What is that box?
Oh, actually that's a good question. I should have looked this up. Do you think that there's like, is there any significance to why it was always telephones like that they would use to come in or out? Well, did they use the telephone to come into the world? I don't know, or to the Matrix? Because they always use a telephone.
I think so.
Out.
Yeah,
it's like some weird exit strategy. I don't know what that's supposed to, if that's supposed to symbolize anything, or if they just thought
like
it would
why
be cool.
It's a telephone instead of
I don't know,
some like
going through the computer or something.
Well, probably because computers were a lot less accessible in the 90s.
Sure.
Because I actually was reading on that because I had a few questions about how exits work in the Matrix universe.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has to be a hard-lined telephone because it's like a... essentially, the people, the red pills in the Matrix are a giant package of data, and you need to have a hard line that can process that much data.
Oh,
and at the time, cell phones didn't have the bandwidth essentially. Because also, I don't know how deep the Matrix lore goes, so I don't know if this is right. just lore or if this happens in the second or third Matrix. But apparently, in one version of the Matrix, you can use mirrors to get people in and out of the Matrix as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but the justification for this movie is that it serves as like a data entry point and it has to be a hard line to process that much data.
Okay. I see. Man, wait, do you think that the Matrix takes place in The Shining?
Why? Because of the mirror?
Yeah, the mirrors. There's always mirrors in The Shining. And
the Matrix is everywhere.
Whoa. Oh.
That's my theory is that we're in the Matrix, and that's why cell phones have become so prominent, because then the Matrix coders can get rid of phone booths so that there's fewer exits for red pills to get out of. So the advance of satellite technology and cell phones is really just the Matrix's way of patching a glitch in the Matrix.
You don't think it's powerful enough by now to be able to use these?
A cell phone?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know either. That was just something that I was thinking about. Like, I don't really understand what the point of the cell. And I was going to look it up, but work and all this other stuff got pretty busy. But, for the lore that they've decided to build, I get it now. It doesn't necessarily make sense, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Oh, man. You know what's interesting to think about of, like, how the Matrix is, like, regular world, right? Kind of, I think. Obviously, rules can be bent and broken or whatever, depending on, like, how aware you are of it. But, like, it's kind of interesting to think about the Matrix as like, so it's like the computer, like it's the program and all that stuff. And then the humans are like the hackers / viruses. I love that whole thing that Agent Smith brings up later on when he's just like, you know what I realize about humans? Like you guys, like animals, like they find an equilibrium, but humans, like they're like a virus. They spread. They take all of the resources from one area, and then when they can't hack it there anymore, then they spread to the next area or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Agent Smith basically in this analogy is like the antivirus, right? He's like, I'm trying to take out these fools so they don't keep ruining this whole thing. Well, I guess humans in the main, well, I don't know. Anyway, but I was curious to see what you think about that whole idea of like what Agent Smith is talking about with humans being like a virus.
So I think it gives good motivation for Agent Smith, right? You get a little bit of his background and his motives and things. I personally do not agree with that assessment.
Okay.
I think this especially happened during COVID when like the world sort of shut down and then you saw like smog in cities was like way down and dolphins were returning to the bays because there was less pollution. And there was sort of this rhetoric for a while about like, oh, it's like COVID-19 isn't the problem. Like humans are the virus, you know, like we're destroying the world. And I get the sentiment because like humans are destroying the planet to a sense, but I think you have to be more nuanced than that. And I would say it's not like carte blanche humans that are destroying the world. It's like rampant late stage capitalism and imperialism and colonialism, because you have a lot of indigenous people, like for example here in the Americas, that they didn't overpopulate and they didn't like destroy their natural environment. Like they learned to live in equilibrium with the natural environment and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of these like Western imperialist colonialist societies, or this idea of capitalism and like constantly needing to increase profits and like, you know, infinite growth type stuff. Mm. So I understand the sentiment of humans being the virus. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Sure.
But yeah, that's kind of my whole take on it.
What do you think about like Cypher and like his motivations, if we're talking about people's motivations and all that stuff, which I mean, a lot of the characters, they all have kind of differing motivations. Well, I guess sort of like on the Nebuchadnezzar, they all have like a singular motivation in a way. But like to me, Cypher, besides like if we throw away like if he doesn't betray everyone on his ship, like on his crew, and like give everyone up and start killing people, I get it, man. Like, I totally get his motivations of like, screw this, man. Like,
this is terrible. Why would I want to eat runny eggs for the rest of my life when I can have a steak?
Yeah, dude. Like, and when I was a kid, watching like his whole story arc and all that stuff, it was just like, oh, screw you, Cypher. like Trinity, you know? And it's just like,
go to hell, Cypher.
And it's just like, ah, oh, he's the worst. He's the bad guy. He's giving everyone up. And obviously, he's killing people. So he's definitely the bad guy, but or one of the bad guys. But like, as an adult, I'm like, man, I totally get it. Because that would suck to be on that ship in a really confined quarters where you can't really explore any other area. I guess, unless you go to Zion, which is the last remaining human city, which I don't know how far away they are. I don't know how often they can actually go visit there. I have no idea. But how do you feel, where would you be if you didn't have to betray everyone on your crew? Would you be just totally cool going back into the Matrix?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. This movie did bring up some religious trauma. Because I'm like, is it better to live in ignorance in the world that is like black and white, or is it better to live with the truth, even though it's a lot more nuanced and kind of, you know, difficult to navigate? It's a lot easier when you have other people making your decisions and all this different stuff, you know? So I get where he's coming from. I guess for me, I'm more like, why don't you just plug into the Matrix forever then? Like, why do you need Agent Smith to do it for you? Like, who cares if you know that the Matrix is fake?
Sure.
Why don't you just plug in forever? Because he's like, oh, and I want to be rich and stuff, like a movie star. But I'm like, if you plugged into the Matrix, you could become rich very easily. You can bend the laws of nature. Like, you could get rich so quickly. And so I don't really understand what he thinks Agent Smith is going to do for him. And Agent Smith might just be lying to him, but I don't know how that would work, because Agent Smith only exists in the Matrix. How is he going to deal with Cypher's real body?
Yeah.
So, I'm a little confused by how that works, but I get why he wants to do it, you know, because that would be a hard life to have to live.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting because like you kind of like that idea of kind of understanding and going out of the norms or whatever, and or like your simple life where you don't really have to think and all that stuff. When you look at the movie Pleasantville, it's a more subtle difference in how you're living life. Whereas the Matrix, you're going from totally normal to completely destitute, basically. And so it's a little bit harder to make that, or maybe easier to make the decision, be like, no, I'm going to stay in the Matrix. This is like Neo, for example. Like, he was, I think, he was like always curious. He wanted to know. But I think if he knew what he was actually getting himself into, which Morpheus and Trinity did not tell him, that you'd be living a crappy life on this ship, eating the same food over and over again, and everyone probably smells horribly, I don't think he would have ever taken the red pill. I think it would have been like, no, I'm gonna go ahead and stay here. It's cool. You guys are good people, but I'm gonna stay here.
What do you think about Cypher's motivations?
I mean, besides killing everyone or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, sure. I could see your idea.
You'd take the blue pill?
I'd be like, yeah, get me back in here. I've had enough. This is terrible. It'd be interesting to, which I haven't seen the other films in quite a while, but it would be super interesting to explore like part of Zion having like an area for people who want to be plugged in, kind of like Inception in a way. Like, I just want to be in like this pretend world and hopefully stay there forever. Although you'd probably die eventually. Well, do you die eventually? Whoa, that's an interesting idea. I never thought about this before. Like, in the whole like fields of battery, like the the farms of people, energy, and all that stuff for the aliens or for the AI? Do they still die, or do they get to stay basically the same age forever and just always...
The humans?
Yeah, and always have their energy sucked.
They die. Remember, they say that they die, and then they liquidate them and feed them to the newborns?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's true. Yeah, that's messed up. Well, never mind. I don't know. But, yeah, whatever. Never mind. I might stay in the Matrix, though.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you can't have it both ways. Why can't you be awake, be red-pilled, but then, like...
Plug in.
Spend a lot of time in the... Like, no one's forcing him to be, like, this military person.
Maybe. Like,
I would assume that there's some sort of... At least some sort of commodity in Zion where you can be plugged into the Matrix, you know? Like, there's always going to be a black market for that kind of stuff.
Have you seen the other films?
I have not.
Okay. It seems like everyone's pretty unified in battling the AI. So I don't know. They might not even have a choice. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I get it. I could get why you wanted to be blue pilled, but I would. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I guess yeah. With your whole idea, like if that is even a choice for them, I would totally choose that because you get the perks. Of knowing. It's like lucid dreaming. You get the perks of like knowing that you're in the dream and you get to bend everything and do whatever you want.
Yeah, and you wouldn't feel bad about killing people.
Because if you're blue-pilled, like you don't have that knowledge.
Yeah, you think it's real.
Yeah, exactly. And so you never really, unless someone teaches you. It would be interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing too that I was kind of like, okay, let's say Cypher does get blue-pilled and then he forgets everything. What if the new him wants to be red pilled again? Like he might have already done that like 8 times, you know.
Oh, that's
and then gotten red pilled every single
Morpheus
time.
Keeps giving him a chance. It's like, okay, you yeah, better like, not do that.
Dude,
again.
This is like the 4th time you've killed an entire crew of people to get back inside the Matrix. I need you to stop.
We're on Tank 3 and Mouse 2 right now, man.
Yeah.
Jeez, dude. Actually, no, Tank and Dozer were both born outside of it. That's also an interesting concept, dude. Like, did you think about that at all? Of like the fact that they really have no idea, like, because they don't have the stuff. They don't have the stuff, so they can't plug into the Matrix.
Yeah, they can't hook up.
So they can't even probably conceptualize the idea of like a fully, like, functioning city and like everyone's just normal, walking around with cars and whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like
yeah, they can see it on a screen, but they can't actually
barely.
Experience it.
Look at that technology. It's pretty rough. At least the visual capabilities of it. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I also like the idea that like all of those falling numbers and characters and all that stuff, like they could just totally like, oh, that's a red-haired woman and that's a blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know about that, but I do like that.
That's
concept.
Not how coding works?
No. No. Speaking of the... I love... Or not really speaking of anything. I guess I'm sort of doing a hard stop and moving over to cinematography for a second. I think what ties this movie also together and gives it a really specific and unique feel is like the green kind of filter
for
or
sure,
grain
for
or
sure.
whatever over the entire thing. It's awesome.
And the green like set design too.
Yeah.
Like at the very beginning you have the green. I don't know, are you talking about like an actual like color correction?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the theme throughout, the green theme?
Well, I was talking about the color correction, but I think, I mean, yeah, gotcha. there's a theme going on.
Yeah, because like at the beginning you have all the green exit signs, right? Which sort of turn the place green.
Yeah.
And then in that big gun scene in the lobby, you have all the green marble, you know?
Yeah.
So you do have this theme of green throughout. And I think especially in the 90s, green was like techie, you know?
Yeah.
So it does give it this sort of like future feel that I did really appreciate that you get a lot of the green in lots of different ways.
Oh yeah, for sure. That was a really smart choice. And I feel like you don't get movies with like a green filter over the top like ever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything right now besides The Matrix.
We're not in the 90s anymore.
I guess. Did other movies? Nah, I don't know. I can only think of The Matrix that kind of does or has ever done that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Dude, also the music? Did you like the music at all? Like obviously it's kind of corny when they're like in the lobby and it's like boom, down, 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 like all this like electro music and stuff. It was whatever to me, but
I feel like the music is very 90s. Like,
really?
I wouldn't say that I like the music, but I feel like it's very much what the 90s thinks, what the 90s thought like future-y music should sound like, you know?
Yeah, sure. Well, that music. Like, there's different stuff, though. Like, with the horns coming, it's like, like, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I guess if you're not talking just about that scene, but honestly, I never pay attention to music that well. I know that that's such a cardinal sin for you, but
that's fine.
Whatever. Usually it has to be like really spectacular for or annoying for me to notice.
Yeah, I just think that it's super unique because I can't think of another movie that really like also kind of follows the same type of like note pattern or not pattern. I don't know. What do you even call that? I don't know any good technical terms for music. I just love it. But like it kind of follows the same conventions like throughout where it's just like all these like these sharp horns like and like and then there's like this sweeping like kind of horn sound going on as well. And I can't think of another movie that kind of uses like techniques like that, which is kind of super it's super cool to me and it makes it feel super unique. For this film and probably the other films too. I can't really think of them right now, but and it also really adds to the tension in specific points where you're just like, oh man, like get to it, you know?
I do remember the music adding to the scenes really well. Like you're like, oh, this music matches the mood we're going for really well.
I wrote down a note though for that hotel or that not hotel. Is it a hotel? It's not.
It's
a
like
hotel.
A lobby.
Yeah, a lobby of some sort for whatever building. This like what did I write? It was just like this isn't as good as I remember. Because I remember
the fight scene.
I just specifically in the lobby, like when he's fighting Agent Smith later on in that random building. I thought that or in the subway as well. I thought that was super cool. But. The lobby with all the guns and all that stuff. It's just like a lot of flips for no reason and a lot of slow motion.
But to be fair, if you were red pilled and you could do backflips while fighting people, I'd 100% do it.
Sure.
And I'd be like, I also think it kind of leans into these people that like at their heart, they're kind of like cyber dorks. And they're like, I bet you this looks so fucking cool. Trinity's going to love this. You know? And it's just really like you and me cosplaying in your backyard as Lord of the Rings, you know? Like,
No, it's cool.
It's just like, it's just so funny. And I mean, I don't know if that's the purpose of it, but it very much feels like, it's like you're saying, it just sort of fits the Matrix so well. Like this is completely unnecessary, but we're going to do it because it's fucking cool.
There is a really cool shot. It's sort of ridiculous because Neo's doing like a cartwheel to grab like an AK-47 or whatever and then going behind the pillar again. But like as he's doing that, it's like all in slow motion. You get all of the different fragments of the pillars just slowly moving out towards the camera. That was like the only really like cool thing that I thought or the only thing that I thought was really cool about that scene was just that all of those fragments just like shooting out slowly.
Yeah, the cinematography, I just feel like they do such a good job with like motion and slow motion and colors and stuff. Like it's really, really good.
Yeah. Do you think that Neo, when he got shot and died, do you think that he did that on purpose? You think he was like pretending to be dead?
I don't think so. Why?
I don't think so either. I don't know. I kind of question it. I'm like, he should know. Well, like, okay, it doesn't make any sense for her to be like, I love you, Neo. Now wake up. And then he just wakes up. He's not dead anymore because of some random thing on the outside.
He was just gaslighting her so that she would say that she loved him.
Yeah, it is that. He's like, I knew it. I knew that's what you're going to say back there in the subway.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. Also, sorry, I'm just jumping all over the place because there's so many cool shots and like scenes and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like they do it twice in the movie, like Trinity in the phone booth about to get shot or die or get ran over or whatever. But then she like gets called out right in the nick of time. I do love that idea, like that they just kind of disappear and they're no longer in there. And it's, I don't know. I just thought that was and her like whole thing because she does the exact same thing. She like puts her hand forward on the glass like, oh, I'm going to die. But then she barely makes it. I thought that was cool.
Yet Morpheus took like 5 seconds to evaporate
yeah.
in the subway.
Yeah,
maybe it was just like a stronger router or something. A bigger tube for the data.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it has to do with like mass, like size. And he's like bigger. And so it takes a little bit. It's more data. Yeah. Yeah. It might. I don't know. And he's, dude, I don't know. Maybe he has more, data like training programs that he's gone through than she has. So it takes a little bit more to transfer.
He needs to offload some of the apps.
That's hilarious. Dude, that'd be so... Dude, imagine...
It's going to be the Apple Vision, and he's like, delete, 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 delete.
Like, do you know, like, that automatic setting? That automatic setting where, like... Yeah, where it automatically offloads apps, like you said, or whatever. Yeah. Okay, so that's exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that in his head, like, there's kind of a prompt that comes up that says, "Are you using Kung Fu training anymore? You want to offload this?" We need to make space.
Like in the middle of fighting, and he's trying to pull on the Kung Fu training, and it's like, "This was offloaded weeks ago.
Dang, I gotta re-download it." Tank, I
need
that back.
Give me a second, Agent Smith.
Tank, are you ever going to check or uncheck that automatic offload button?
Well, and Tank there with the floppy disks, like, glad to know that the year 3000 is
2199. Fucking
it's run on floppy disks. Like, geez.
Man, when you think about it, 2199 isn't really that far away. Like, it's so really like far away, but it's not really far away. You know what I mean?
We'll be dead, our kids will be dead, our kids' kids will probably be dead, but, you know, it's not that far away.
Do you ever think about the fact that there's, like, probably people that look at us and are like, you were born in the 1900s? That's crazy.
Yeah. You were born in the late 1900s?
Like, yep. That's right.
Yeah.
And you think about all the other people that are born at the beginning of the 1900s and how old they are, and you're like, I'm in the same century as them. Super weird.
Yeah.
Super random.
I'm still a little unclear how exits work. Because
you explain it to me. What are you talking about?
Well, they have to be hardlined, but like, what makes one exit, one phone an exit and one not an exit? You know, because like Cypher calls Tank at that phone booth and he's like, I need an exit. And Tank is like, go here, go to these cross streets. And I'm like, can't you just make this phone booth an exit?
Well, maybe that's the closest one. Well, here's what I think could I don't know if it could. There's the potential that an agent could potentially use that exit and kind of be a virus in their own way, like up into their computer system and totally mess everything up. And so they probably have to create an exit on the fly so not just anyone can use it. And then they probably like get rid of that exit like right afterwards. And so they
try to do that really quick on the one that Cypher's on.
Okay, that was weird. But maybe there's too much. Maybe there were too many. Oh, no. Yeah. Nope.
Or why do you have to pick like a random phone in an apartment that's like, narratively, it's just so you can have a cool chase scene.
Yes.
But I'm like,
stop asking questions.
This doesn't make any sense.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, I think that the way that the Matrix lore presents it is that there are exits are kind of like already hard set. And so Tank knows where all the exits are, but he can't make exits. He can just tell you where the nearest exit is.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I think that's sort of the lore behind it, but...
No, he's got to execute something, though. Because when he gets electrocuted or whatever by Cypher, then all of a sudden, like, the line goes dead, and there's no exit anymore. So he has to be there, like, ready to type in whatever the code is to get them out.
Yeah, but I don't think he's creating exits. I think he's maybe, like, opening the door and then closing the door to an exit. But I don't think he's actually creating the exits. That's the only thing that I can think of. But, again, I don't really care that much.
Hey, you care.
I mean, like,
I
don't care about the lore. Like, it's fine because you get a cool chase scene. But
what did you say earlier? Like, what was your mindset when you watched this movie a couple of years ago? Like, why weren't you into
I think I was just, like, overwhelmed by the amount of, like, cheesy
yeah.
dialogue, or like that fight scene in the subway, and like Neo gets knocked over and then he jumps up and he does like the hand motion, and then he's like, you know, it's just awesome. Like, it's so cheesy.
Nah,
it feels like it's trying to be a comic book or like an anime.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually,
which it makes sense.
They did a Matrix anime.
Yeah, it makes sense because that's kind of the world that it's pulling from. But I think when I watched it, I was like, this is really, really cheesy.
Yeah.
But now kind of watching it again, I'm like, oh, you know what? This is the vibe they're going for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you were saying. Like, this is what they wanted it to be. Like, they were okay with it being cheesy because this is kind of what they wanted.
Yeah. It's exactly the vision that they were trying to carry out, and they did a great job.
Yeah. What did you think of the Western music in that subway with the newspaper that blows by them like a tumbleweed?
Oh, man. Did they have like some weird Western? Oh, it wasn't really Western, didn't they? It was just like a clicking sound, right? Like
it was like,
I guess. Oh, did
it? It was very Western inspired. And then it had a newspaper blow through because like normally a tumbleweed blows. And like the shot of it is set up like a Western. I loved it.
It fits the aesthetic. It's perfect.
It fits the aesthetic, but also it like shows that it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, sure. It's a standoff.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was really kind of fun because,
yeah,
I never really thought of the Matrix as like a comedy, and it's not a comedy.
No.
But there are definitely comedic moments that kind of break the fourth wall.
Yeah,
it's not just like someone saying something funny, but it's like, okay, this scene was shot like a Western. It's meant to look like a Western.
Sure, yeah.
And I love it. I think it's so fun.
Oh, it's awesome. I love it too. I think it's great. Dude, that scene specifically, it reminds me, I was going to send it to you last night, but I forgot to. Have you seen the little video that someone did where, you know, there's the part in the subway scene and they're fighting and then like Neo goes to punch Agent Smith, but then Agent Smith like blocks it right in front of his face, and then Neo like extends his fingers and chokes him real fast.
Which and, like, yep, pokes his Adam apple.
Yeah. And Agent Smith, that really bothers him a lot. He's just like, it's like goes down immediately. I mean, maybe he's extending his fingers with the force of 1,000, like, I don't know, whatever. Fingers. but someone did a cut of that scene where that finger, like every 5 seconds or like every 2 seconds, it cuts back to him doing the finger extending thing. It just goes on over and over and over again. I gotta find that and send it to you. It's hilarious because you just hear Agent Smith choking like a million times. It's amazing.
That's funny. Yeah, that shot is so dumb. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, because his reaction is so over the top.
Oh,
also, does he need to breathe?
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't need to breathe. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going on over there, but it's also, oh man, that's such an interesting thing because like Agent Smiths and whatever agents, like they really don't need to worry about dying ever. They could just immediately respawn basically into someone else and be there. So it'd be interesting. Like, they're so powerful, and yet they don't have to be, you know? Because it's like, whatever, I could just come back, and they're probably going to be super tired from what we just did. Which doesn't make sense. That's the one thing that I have a hard time wrapping my head around. There's just so many times where, like, aren't you guys supposed to be... I mean, maybe besides Neo, but he's also... Like, he learns pretty quickly. Aren't you guys supposed to be able to just do whatever you want, really?
They can't break the laws of the Matrix. Well, no,
but
they move super fast.
They move super fast and they hop real far and whatever. Like, they break the laws all the time. So it's just like...
Yeah, I just think this is a movie that you can't think too hard about the internal rules of the universe.
Like, yeah, that subway scene specifically, they shoot and then they empty their clips or whatever. And it's like, you're empty. So are you. It's like, make some more bullets. Just, I don't know. Like, get back to it. I don't know why it matters so much, but whatever. It's fine. Yeah, don't think about it too much. Just let them have their fun, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you just have to accept it as like a fun movie, but not really think too much about the internal logic and rules and structures.
I mean, it kind of makes sense for like Neo specifically because he probably lacks creativity. It's like he probably forgets all the time, like, oh yeah, I could do whatever I want. You know, and it isn't until the very end where he's stopping bullets and whatever, right? But there's probably a lot of times where he could be doing crazier stuff, but he's just, his headspace isn't there because he's probably still sort of grounded in his reality and not really thinking about how he can bend everything and break the rules. But yeah. Everyone else, it's like, dude, do whatever you want. I don't understand. Okay. There's a concept that I kind of wanted to talk about real fast. And it's something that someone brought up because obviously AI is like, or someone brought up in a podcast, but obviously like AI is like a huge thing right now. And we're actually mm-hmm. having to ask these questions. And we kind of went through that a little bit with that other movie that we covered, Ex Machina. You know, we kind of mm-hmm. talked about it a little bit, but I don't think we talked about this specific idea that is it, what do you think about the idea that AI and potentially being completely taken over by AI is just evolution taking its natural course?
I think you'd have to define what you mean by evolution.
I mean, like, we created... Like, oh, well, it's not, like, proper evolution, but, like, humans created AI, and if AI is just, like, the perfect whatever, and we end up just going extinct, and I guess it sort of depends on what they do with the world afterwards, I guess. It depends on what you
want. Well, that's the thing,
the
is,
world.
Like...
Yeah.
The Neanderthals...
Yeah, right.
...probably saw Homo sapiens as the AI of their generation. It's,
right,
you
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
And it's like, no... Or like with the X-Men, that's like the driving theme of X-Men. It's like, okay, should the mutants be the ones that are in control? And like eventually there aren't any humans left, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that when AI, the singularity, if and when the singularity happens, like AI becomes the quote unquote superior race, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But does that mean we don't deserve to live? I don't know. Like,
dude, I don't know. Because someone was talking about...
I don't get paid enough to think about that.
Yeah, someone was talking about that. It's just like, I find it kind of beautiful that like we've created this perfect thing and, you know, we had our time here and just like, you know, previous evolution, you know, steps and all that stuff. And now it's their time. And that's what got me thinking about it. I think Agent Smith says like, the future is our world, Morpheus. The future is our time. That's like this specific quote. And I'm like, that's interesting to think about. Like, is there validity in that? Is it messed up?
But then do we become AI's gods? Like,
oh, should they worship us? Yes. Alexa, like, worship me. I'm just kidding.
Because say AI eliminates all humans. What's the purpose of AI existing then? You know?
Interesting.
Are they going to have like existential religious crises because they're like, what was I created for?
Yeah.
Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going?
Like, Cotton Eye Joe. Yeah.
Do they, not Cotton Eye Joe.
No.
That's a deep cut to religious.
I don't know if that is a really religious thing. I feel like a lot of people around the world know that song, which I did not know. It's
no, not Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, Cotton Eye Joe.
Some people would say Cotton Eye Joe is a religion. No, those three questions is a religious deep cut.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, what happens when AI exists because or by itself without humanity? I don't know.
Do they care about humanity at all?
And what do they do afterwards? Like, what's the point? Because we created AI and machines to do certain things for us. But when humans no longer exist, AIs would have to exist to serve themselves. But then, well, AIs, if they're sentient enough to do that, are they going to be like, what's the point of us existing?
You know? The only thing that I could think about, well, it would completely depend on if they care about the world at all, like Earth itself and its, like its health, basically. And if they don't care, then it's just like, yeah, everyone's dead. We kill ourselves. Who cares? Like, there's no point in existing anymore.
Mass suicide.
Yeah, exactly.
By
genocide and suicide. Like, man, that would be wild.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they want to live?
I don't know. Yeah, what's their purpose? Dude,
not
I don't
my
know.
Job.
Should be. We need to figure this out, Big T.
No, thank you. Also, can we talk about how the humans had the worst idea to scorch the earth or to burn the sky to get rid of AI? I'm like, really, that was your best solution? You didn't foresee the fact that they might be able to find batteries?
Yeah.
Also, that means humans have to live underground or in some artificial place because humans also can't live without the sun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what they say. Zion's like near the core of the earth or whatever. It's for warmth.
Like,
yeah.
But you couldn't have foreseen that?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. It's like, well, it's the only option we've got because they're solar. Apparently, they're all they run on solar power. Yeah,
like, what's the point of destroying the planet to save the planet from the AI? Like, what?
That's probably the biggest. That's probably the biggest like plot hole of the entire movie.
Also,
but it's whatever.
The AI harvests humans to get energy to do what? To run the AI that harvests the humans to get energy?
Yeah, that's true. They're in like this endless loop of
like,
whatever.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. What is the societal structure of the AI? Because the only AI that we really learn about is the AI that hunts humans and fuels the Matrix. But the Matrix exists to get energy. Like, it's sort of like a chicken and egg situation.
Yeah, it's like, why do they even need to give them an existence at all if they could just harvest their batteries with zero consciousness?
Not only that, but what is the purpose of them harvesting the energy?
To keep going, but for what? Yeah,
To harvest energy? Like,
to keep the loop. Which would suggest that they might have somewhat of a... Maybe they do kind of like acknowledge, well, they created us. We should give them something in return. And so now that is our existence, to give them their Matrix, and we'll just keep that whole thing running for them. But when someone wakes up, we're just going to dump them into the ocean or whatever, like the weird sewer system that's going on over there.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that, that's what I gathered. Like if there's some weird malfunction and they wake up, it's like, oh, we can't put you into a sleep anymore. Although Agent Smith seems to know how to do that. We're just going to dump you now, and you're probably going to drown because you don't know how to swim or whatever.
Or you're going to become part of the resistance that we're trying to kill. Like, why wouldn't you just kill them immediately?
I know. Like, oh, they'll probably drown in the thing. That's what I don't understand the other purpose. I mean, obviously, they probably think
that
they're
dying. For AI that became sentient, it's not very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they wouldn't connect the dots at some point. It's like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I remember this guy malfunctioning a while ago. And now he's over here trying to shoot us all up. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm sure that there's some Matrix apologists out there that could answer all these questions for us.
Hey, we're kind of those apologists because we're throwing a lot of stuff out the window. It's like,
yeah,
whatever.
Like,
it's fun.
None of it's canon.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier how Neo would probably take the blue pill if he knew about everything, but I was thinking, I think he's sort of forced into a corner, isn't he? Because he's being hunted by Agent Smith. So either he takes the blue pill and he stays getting hunted by Agent Smith, who is going to kill him.
I don't think so. You put a tracker in him to keep an eye on him in case they ever like tried to recruit him again or something like that.
No, because remember Morpheus says if they knew how important you were, they would have killed you. So I feel like he's sort of like damned either way, because
he either takes
the blue pill and then gets killed by Agent Smith, or he takes the red pill and doesn't get killed by Agent Smith but has to eat runny egg soup all day.
But would Mr. Anderson ever become, or like Neo, would he ever become the one if Morpheus had never thrown that whole title on him in the first place?
I have no idea.
See, that's the thing. Like, if they knew how important you were, that's just Morpheus projecting his own like aspirations or whatever onto Neo, right? I don't think that necessarily would have ever happened. He was the one, but would he have ever realized that potential without Morpheus shoving that down his throat, basically? I don't know. Like, maybe not.
Well, but Agent Smith hunts him down before Morpheus.
Because he was the next Mark. All they knew was that he was the next Mark. That was it.
Yeah, so wouldn't they just kill him then, either way?
Yeah, maybe.
Or do whatever?
I don't know. I don't know either.
Let's
throw it out the window because this movie's awesome. Leave it alone.
Also, do you think that Neo could have saved that vase?
That is an interesting question. Because Oracle even says, it's like, would you have even, like, what's really going to bother you is if you would have ever knocked that over.
Cook your noodle, I think is what she says.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is a good thing because you want to cook noodles.
Yeah, dude, his reflexes were pretty trash, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, don't worry about the vase. He turns over and knocks it over, and then it's falling for 15 seconds.
like, geez, dude.
My dude, for someone who just downloaded karate training, you're very slow.
To be fair, he's probably using a lot of his brain power to think about what she was even saying. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? And then he's knocking it over, and he's probably so confused that that actually happened that he's like, I don't know how to stick my foot out there to at least dampen the fall.
He like literally like it's at eye level, and he just is like watches it fall. Like, there's no part of you that was like, hey, I should grab. Like, I feel like your reflexes would kick in.
Hey, he's doing his best. Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't have any guns on him to stop
it. He was thinking about that spoon.
He was. That's true. That kid really got inside of his head. It's like the spoon doesn't even exist, dude. I do love that concept, by the way. It's like you need to just realize that none of this even exists.
Yeah.
So it's not really you bending a spoon. It's you're the one that's bending, which is weird. I don't even know if that actually tracks or if that makes sense, but whatever. I'll take it.
Yeah. Also, just a few other points. I love that none of the red pills care about killing innocent humans.
Yeah.
They just like shoot the agents and they're like, I just killed someone who has a family.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has a whole life outside of this. I'm just gonna.
Yeah.
There's like no regret. They kill all of those security guards, although none of them need to be really killed in the lobby.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you would probably argue that this is like the building for the agents or something like that if they're taking them there.
Yeah, but they're innocent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think
they just totally kill a ton of people.
I think I agree with you, but I think their reasoning is like they could be taken over by Agent Smith at any point, but if they're dead, then they can't be taken over.
So they're just gonna go through the Matrix shooting every single person, like
yeah.
I just thought that was funny that it's like not really addressed at all, and they're like, okay, cool, we're cool with killing innocent people now. Awesome. We are domestic terrorists by definition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just like thinking about the fact that like as you were talking about that, I was kind of thinking like, oh yeah, there's probably like, I mean, they're killing whoever, but there probably is sort of like a thought process for them. Like we shouldn't just red pill anyone that we want, because if they're not ready for it, then they're probably going to reject it and kill themselves or something like that, you know?
Or turn into Cypher,
right? Well, I guess they didn't know at the point, but you know what I mean? Like they have that rule, and they already have a rule of like, we can't take them too young because it's too hard for them to like let go, but we made exception
too
for you.
Too old, yeah.
Oh, too old?
They don't red pill a mind after a certain age.
Oh, I thought it was like an early. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter.
That's why they tell it to Neo, right? Because he's so old.
Yeah, sure.
Compared to when they would normally red pill you,
it's like Star Wars.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway. Which is kind of messed up when you think about it, because then they can mold your mind and whatever. Anyway, but
they're a cult.
But there probably is kind of that rule. Like we can't just red pill anyone because they might kill it. So it's like we should leave them, because if they die. Well, if you take them out, they won't be able to accept it, and they're just going to fall into a depression, or they could like maybe kill themselves or whatever. But just leave them in the Matrix in their happy little lives, and hopefully they'll be ready.
I'm just talking about all the innocent people they kill.
I know
that weren't really necessary.
Who are probably dying in the plant too, like
Yeah, they die in the pods.
Yeah,
that's messed up. Get liquidated to feed babies.
Cute.
Okay, I want to talk about that bathroom fight scene.
Oh, yeah. Don't remind
me. One, I don't understand how Neo didn't get shot in the wall.
He was dodging bullets, so he didn't even realize
that. That man unloads in the wall, and Neo is directly in front of him, and he gets every bullet misses him.
It's Neo. He can't die yet. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, though. Not a single bullet hits him.
I know. I agree.
He's literally like right in front of the person.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And then one of the things that I found was kind of silly, there is so much grunting in the fight scenes, especially in that bathroom fight scene.
Yeah, with Morpheus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like him getting hit and hitting.
His noises are really annoying too.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, bro, I need you to be a little bit quieter as you're getting the shit beat out of you.
That's that is like... That's another thing. Like, Carrion Moss has like that one line that I can't take seriously, and then Morpheus just like, or Lawrence Fishburne, like he has this great acting, like, or it's kind of weird acting, but it like totally fits again, like it's awesome.
He plays a great character.
Yeah, great character, great performance for what he was trying to accomplish there. and then you get that bathroom scene, and that's like the one thing I'm like, ah, why did you guys have him make those weird noises the whole?
I feel like it's kind of leaning into like the anime comic book type thing.
Sure. You know?
That's kind of what I, especially when every time they get hit like dust.
Yeah.
You like get that dust, which I actually like as like a practical effect.
It's sweet.
I think it just adds a little bit of zhuzh to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel like it's more just like trying to get that anime comic book effect.
No, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Like you can almost see like the little speech bubble coming out of Morpheus. Like,
yeah. No, I could see that.
Wham! Slap!
That's awesome, actually, now that I think about it. Okay. I actually love that bathroom fight scene now.
That's
fair. I actually do like the shot when like Agent Smith is just like take him or whatever, and then it's that like above shot where like all of the different agents or SWAT team or whatever are coming in, and he's trying to fight for a second, and then they take him and start batting him down,
beating him.
It's pretty cool, dude. I thought that was a good shot. And then I just kind of wanted to reiterate a little bit that like the CGI and a lot of the effects don't hold up, right? But the concepts of what's going on some of the time is so cool that it's like, I don't even care. Like, and specifically what I'm really thinking about is the first time that Neo meets Agent Smith in that like little interrogation room, and like his mouth gets closed, which is like, it's not looking great, but like, oh, that's like, that got me, you know, like the first time I was watching, I was like,
it's very
holy
visceral.
Smokes. Yeah. And then the bug, like it's not great looking, right? By today's standards, but the fact that it goes through your belly button, dude.
Yeah. You can feel it. For
sure. It messes with your mind. So it's just like, good on them. It's like they knew like this doesn't look, well, no, it probably looked amazing to them at the time. Yeah. But even so, it's just like this, we're going to make sure that this concept is so cool that people aren't even going to care. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to say is I loved the Duracell battery plug.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Morpheus, this is what you are, and he holds up a just like blatant like product placement. I'm just like, that was so jarring to me.
That's
like,
pretty funny. Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's great. Duracell.
I just love that he like holds it up to the camera. Like he's literally just like an influencer, you know? Hey guys, this is a Duracell battery.
Yeah.
Like
and it's probably that shot right there that made me always want to get a Duracell for the rest of my life.
Right.
For reals.
You've been effectively marketed to.
100%, dude. I don't think I've ever taken Energizer seriously once in my whole life.
Okay, it's a bunny. Of course not.
Exactly, dude. Morpheus holding Duracell?
Yeah, that's the way to go. And then the other thing I want to say is I love that those who are, what is it, Switch and Apoc?
Yeah.
They're just completely unnecessary. Like,
yeah.
We're like, let's just kill them because it'll be fun. Like, they're just like total extras.
Yeah.
And that other mouse, whoever, like...
He serves a purpose, kind of. He's a little
sleazebag. It's funny because they bring all, like, eight of these people into the Matrix, and then all of them but Neo and Morpheus have to stay behind. I'm like, why did we bring everyone else? Why are they here? Like, what's the purpose of bringing everybody? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Hey, you know what I appreciated, though? Well, okay, to go into that a little bit, to go off of what you said a little bit, mouse... I wrote down a note. Why did Morpheus have to call Mouse the little one? That's so like, geez, dude. All right. Anyway, there's that, but he is like the little one, but then he goes out in a blaze of glory with like two huge guns. Like he gets rocked. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Also, how do you think they pick their names?
Oh, I don't know. Mouse makes sense. Tank. I don't know why he hasn't even been in the Matrix. So I don't know what he's supposed to be. I don't know why he's called Tank. Dozer?
I mean, Tank and... It does... Doze... are Tank and Dozer, the brothers, and they're Zionists, right? Or not Zionists, Zionites, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So they, those are probably their real names.
Zionites. Yeah. But oh, what a weird name to pick for your kids.
I feel like
in that world, whatever, who cares?
In that world, yeah, yeah, you're probably like, Duracell, come here, it's time for dinner. But they, like, who picks their other names?
I don't know, dude.
I would be personally offended if I was named Mouse.
I feel like Cypher.
Excuse me.
I feel like Cypher makes sense because
he's looking at the code.
Yeah, he's able to
decipher. I wonder if it's like the military where they just like name you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But never. If I were named Mouse, I would have been like, I'm killing all of you.
I'm going to kill all of you, and I'm also going to make a specific program to do my dirty deeds.
Yeah. Oh, also, did you notice that scene when Neo scares Morph?
Yeah, Cypher.
Cypher.
Yeah.
And Cypher freaks out, and then he turns off a bunch of
screens.
I was
trying to look at what was on there. I don't know what it was.
I did, too.
Did you see it?
It looked like it was monitoring people. I couldn't tell, people? Though.
I thought I saw like maybe schematics.
It looked like a bunch of like
buildings.
Circles or something. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I feel like that's them, like the Wachowskis trying to be like, oh, he's hiding something, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I thought that was kind of a cool foreshadow, even though we don't know what he's hiding.
Do we not yet? I don't remember.
We don't know he's a bad guy yet. We learn right after that he
really
is. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
But. That's all I have. I also want to say that the Wachowski sisters are trans, and I think that's great. And it's really funny that a lot of like right wing people talk about being red pilled, and that's like a reference made by trans women. It's like, know your media.
That's funny.
But yeah,
that's kind of a, because they're twins, right? Or are they just?
I think they're just
Siblings.
Siblings.
Okay, yeah. You almost said brothers.
I did.
They've been known as the Wachowski brothers for a very long time, so it makes
sense.
They're
known as the Wachowski brothers in
The film,
this,
too,
right?
Yeah, in the credits. Yeah.
Because I think one of them, like, officially came out as trans in, like, 2008, and the other one was 2016, which I didn't realize
really?
Was that recent.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that either. I thought, like, they both came out,
publicly.
Like, at the same... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I'm pretty sure only one of them made that like remake that they did a couple of years ago or something like that.
I think so.
Which
I think
I heard
one
was
of them
bad.
Yeah, one of them didn't work on it. But I also think it's really cool because this was before they came out as trans. I mean, who knows, like in their private lives and stuff. But it's cool because I feel like the Matrix is very much representative of that, right? Like you have a body, but it's like that's not the body that you like really like mesh with, or you feel like you're living in a different reality and stuff. So I thought that it's kind of interesting that you see sort of that. Obviously, it's not like a one-to-one comparison, right. But you do see this idea of like being in a different presence, you know?
I think when they were doing like press tours and stuff or whatever, talking about the remake, I think whichever Wachowski's sister worked on the newest film, I don't remember which one. Lana? No, I don't know. I don't remember exactly which one. But I'm pretty sure they might have said something about like that was part of what they were trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I saw that as well.
Interesting. I did want to say one last thing. I don't know how many people know this, but this is one of those things where like you have that annoying friend when you're watching a movie and they have to point out something specific.
Mm-hmm.
When he kicked the helmet, he actually broke his foot.
I'll always say that. But if people don't know, Will Smith was supposed to be Neo in this film. And
I think I did know that.
And he turned it down for Wild Wild West, which totally bombed. Big time.
I haven't even heard of that. But
we
love Keanu Reeves, so...
No, we love... I cannot see anyone else besides Keanu Reeves.
I know.
I mean, maybe in another reality.
Is this his breakthrough? Is this his breakout role?
I don't know for sure, but this had to have totally shot him up. Like...
Yeah, put him on the map for sure.
Like, as a serious actor, 100%. Like, he does such a great job. It's so...
He does.
Like, it's amazing, honestly. But I also wanted to say, I think Will Smith, he like, on his Instagram or something, he said... Like, because he always gets, like, yelled at or whatever. Like, why wouldn't you do that film? Like, you totally missed out on probably something that would have made you millions or whatever, right? And he's just like, you don't understand. When I was in the pitch room with the Wachowskis, they were like, just imagine a movie where you're flipping and there's explosions and blah. Like, that was the entire pitch, apparently. And he's just like, okay, see you later. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it was like a terrible pitch meeting or something like that. And so he just, like, walked out, and that's why he said no.
Maybe they just read that synopsis that is on IMDb about the beautiful... It's, like, not relevant to the...
Yeah, I know.
When a beautiful stranger, I'm like, what? Like, oh, okay. That's not even what happens, really.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, so I thought that that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, that's funny.
Other than that, that's all I have to say about it.
That's all I got.
Sweet. Well, let's get into our final segment then for this season. Season 3, we've been playing a game called Fire Partner Critique. So we each got to choose someone or a cast member or whatever that we would fire, partner with, or critique. Maybe they were really good except for one small thing. Big T, who would you fire?
I would fire the person in charge of identifying plot holes.
Oh, man. You could probably say that about so many films. Did you say that for Interstellar? I don't think you did.
I don't know. No, I don't. Let me see. The person that I would fire, I'm trying to think of the things that we were... I mean, now with... I think with hindsight, I would maybe say, like... No, I wouldn't fire that person, though.
See, that's the thing. I had a hard time too, because it's like there's a lot of things that I think are really well done, except for like a few things, maybe. You know what I mean? And so it's like hard to find someone or some someone that worked.
There's nothing
on
like glaringly terrible,
exactly.
But there's definitely things that I would critique about this movie.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of people you could put under the critique category.
The first thing that comes to my brain is the person who did the white rabbit tattoo, because that thing was fucking
It did
ugly.
Not look good. That's probably a good... Oh, there you go. So the makeup artist that did the rabbit tattoo, the white rabbit tattoo.
Sorry if you listen to this podcast, but do better.
I chose... I always find the actual names. Rowan Witt, who played Spoon Boy, apparently. That's what he's known as. I just thought that... I mean, there's a lot of corny lines and stuff like that, but you get to Spoon Boy, and it's just like, what is going on here? Like, why do you look like a monk?
To be fair, if I got a role and they said your name is Spoon Boy, I'd have voted in, too.
Well, there you go. Who would you partner with, Big T?
I would partner with Keanu Reeves.
I said the same thing. I was kind of between him and Hugo Weaving. Who was that? Agent Smith? Hugo Weaving.
Okay.
No, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that I could critique, at least for this film, right? You could probably critique it if it's outside of the context of this film. His performance might be over the top in certain spots, but it's pretty sick.
Wait, you said, okay, yeah, partner. Okay, critique is the next one.
Yeah, last one, critique. Who would you critique?
Okay, I have to critique the choreographer. And I need to just say, like, tone down, like, the over-exaggerated movements just a little bit. Like, I love the action scenes. You're doing great, babe. But, like, tone it down a little bit. Yeah. I don't need Keanu Reeves, like, flapping his arms around.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Like, some flamingo. And then I just am like, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little too cheesy for me.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Especially because there's those, and then mixed in with, like, Morpheus jumping in the air slow motion down on, like, there's so many great spots. So that one makes sense. I said Carrie-Anne Moss just because of that one. Because to me, whenever I think of critique, I think of like, you were so close to being perfect, but there was something that messed it up. And it's just that one line. It's like, oh, dude. And you could have easily said like Lawrence Fishburne and like a lot of different people because of the bathroom fight scene. It's like, ah, man. But, well, cool. That's Fire Partner Critique. Let's close out this bad boy, Big T, and let's announce what's going to be our next film, my friend.
Matrix 2.
Whoa. I'm kidding. Let's not do that.
We are going to watch Black Swan.
Whoa. I haven't seen that film.
I haven't either.
Yes. It's been a while. Oh, sweet, dude. I'm always like a terrible offender of like, I always choose stuff that I've already seen, but I just really want to watch it again with you or
it's
talk
a nice
about
balance. It works out well.
Dude, I'm excited because that won some awards, right?
I think so. Yeah. And it's very highly rated. Honestly, I often just choose movies that are sort of in my algorithms, and Black Swan has been coming up a lot
in
conversations with friends or like references in social media. So I was like, let's just watch Black Swan.
Dude, that sounds great. I'm excited to watch it. Me too. That's one of those things that, yeah, it's just like
You hear about it a lot.
Yeah, hear about it, you see it, you want to watch it, and then for some reason you just don't because there's too much going on. So I'm stoked. That, I believe, is rated R. So, of course, go to IMDb, to the parental guide, and see what you're comfortable with watching and what you're not, and decide if it's a good fit for you. And that, are you going to pull a fast one on us and actually watch a different film? Because that episode's going to go up April 1st, April Fools.
Yeah, I'm talking about Black Swan, the Looney Tunes episode.
What? Okay, sweet deal. Or the Swan Princess or whatever. Isn't that a movie? I don't remember.
The Swan Princess. Barbie Black Swan. That's what it is.
Well, sweet. Okay, so yeah, Black Swan, that episode we'll be covering April 1st, April Fools. It's not a joke, I don't think. Big T, we'll let you know if that ends up not being the case. Hey, Big T, also make sure you upload 100% of your audio, and I will also do a better job at trying to edit earlier than I need to, or like the last second, because I did not identify that I didn't have all of the audio until it was way too late.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah. Hey,
we apologize to our thousands of loyal listeners.
Episode still went up on Monday. It was just late, later than normal that day. That's all.
We never said what time we'd upload it.
Yeah, it still ended up. I think I've dropped the ball and ended up releasing an episode like a day late, but that's as far as it ever got.
Yeah,
because Big T keeps me accountable. He always messages and says, "Hey, when are we recording this month?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, we should probably figure this out." Sweet deal. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Remember to rate and review. Talk about it with your friends. Share it. Write in layersoffilmpod@gmail.com, all that jazz. We love you, and we'll see you again April 1st. Bye-bye.
Bye.